He's always had a plan. He has a plan now. He had a plan then. Tomorrow, guess what? He's got a plan. And he's going to work that plan out through time.
Amen.
And if you want to be used by him in his plan, guess what? You can be.
Amen.
You can be. You can be a tool in the hands of the Most High God.
Amen.
Brings us to this time that we're coming in. Jesus, God manifested in flesh. He was God's perfect Lamb. He came to be tempted in every way, just like us, and yet without sin. And he did that for the mere reason that we could know God in an intimate way.
Yeah.
Coming up on Passover. In fact, actually, this was the day, it's Nisan 10th. All right, this was the day that the lambs were picked out. We call it Palm Sunday. But it's 4 days before the Passover. And so everybody in Israel in the Old Testament would gather their perfect little lamb. And they would bring it into their home. And we're going to look at that today. And we're going to look at where Jesus said, I have desired this Passover. Because all of the Passovers before, all the way up until the time that Christ became the Lamb of the Most High God, all of those Passovers were just a picture of the thing that was going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, I desire this Passover. Now remember, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. He was before time began, and he will be here after time is no more. He loves you.
Right.
Amen? He loves you.
Yes.
Jesus talked about a new covenant. But before we can understand that new covenant, the new covenant that is in the blood of Christ or through the sacrifice of Jesus, we need to look at a little bit of history about the sacrifice of the Passover of God in that covenant that God told Moses to start playing out just before the people left bondage in Egypt, God's people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much.
Yes.
I thank you for your word. I thank you for the time that you brought us to. Father, I pray that as we look into your word today, we can see what Passover really is.
Yes.
Father, help us to understand the sacrifice that was made. Help us to understand, Lord Jesus, the love that is wrapped up, the covering, the protection, and all those things. Father, I ask that you would move on me, Lord Jesus, that I would stay on point today. Father, that I'd be able to only speak your word, that my ideals, my mouth would only speak the oracles of God. Father, I pray that you would allow the church to hear what the Spirit has to say to him.
Yes.
Lord, and as we hear what the Spirit says, train us, Father, train us to know you. Train us to stand in you. Train us to build our faith because of what you have done and what you're going to do. Lord, we thank you and praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, as you know, I'm not very good at math. You know, if you, amen. I still say 1 and 1 are 11, right? And so, it's just the way I am, I'm not real good at it. But there's a guy who was a mathematical genius and a Bible scholar, and his name was Sir Robert Anderson. He wrote a book called Becoming Prince. And he, in that book, he talks about times and years and things of that sort. And he places the very first Passover, this one that we're going to look at from Exodus chapter 12. You can turn your books to it, your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, holler out with me if you want. If you have a Bible you've got to plug in, we got one with pages. I hope it's well charged.
100%.
100%. Amen.
Well, 99.
I love you to pieces. But Sir Robert Anderson places the timing, the year of the very first Passover, and I'll say around because I don't know enough about mathematics to say that this is exact. All right, so I'm taking somebody else's word for it, okay? Sir Robert Anderson puts the very first Passover at 1625 B.C., 1,625 years before Christ. And so that was when the first Passover, mathematically, as Sir Robert Anderson worked it out. So give you that, just give me a little bit, because we're going to come back to that. I'm not going to talk math because I don't know math. What I am going to talk is Bible because I know Bible.
Amen.
I just wanted us to have an understanding about how long things may have been going on. And so in Exodus chapter 12, I hope that you're already there. This is the institution of the Passover. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make their count of the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole of the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at the evening. And it shall, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post, on the upper door of the post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden. Sodden means boiled. For all with water, but roast it with fire. His head and his legs, and with his pertness, that means his insides, thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning. That which remaineth of it until morning, ye shall burn it with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, and your loins be girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token, all right, for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout generations, and ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Then he talks about the 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and he goes on about the 7 days. And verse 20 says, And ye shall eat nothing leavened in your habitations at all, ye shall eat unleavened bread. And when Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill it, kill the Passover. And you shall take a branch of hyssop and dip it in the blood, which is in the basin, and strike it on the lintels and the two sides of the post. The blood that is in it, the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two posts, the Lord will pass over the door and shall not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses and smite you. Blessed be the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Looking at this first Passover, it so points to Christ. I hope that as I was reading through those things, you could see Jesus.
Amen.
In that. You could see that perfect Passover, that perfect Lamb of God that was going to be slain. Now, if Sir Robert Anderson is right, that was 1,600 plus days or years that they would have to make this sacrifice. Year after year after year after year after year. blood of lambs and of goats, and year after year they would bring their sin offering. They would bring this Passover, it's not a sin offering, sorry. They would bring the Passover into their home on the 10th of Nisan. They would bring it at this Palm Sunday, as we call it in the church. This was the day that the lambs were selected out of all the flocks of Israel. You would go, like if you were a father of the home, you would go and say, not that one, it's imperfect. Not that one, it's imperfect. Oh, that one's perfect. It has no spot, it has no blemish. That's the one that's coming into my house. God knowing that this was a picture of things to come.
Amen.
1,600 plus years. Not that one. Not that one. Not that one. But I will send myself a sacrifice. Right? God said, I will send myself the sacrifice, and it will be the perfect lamb.
Amen.
Praise God. Jesus came. Perfectly on time. Perfectly. At the very moment he was supposed to come, he came in riding on a donkey, the foal of an ass that had never been ridden before. Exactly the way Zechariah said that he would ride in. Exactly on the day that it was prophesied through Daniel that he would ride in. 880 days to the day from the signing of the decree that the prince should be cut off to the very day Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the exact vehicle that another prophet 100 years after that said he would ride in on. Jesus.
Amen.
The perfect Lamb of God.
Yes.
Riding on the car he was supposed to ride on. Amen. Coming in the way he was supposed to come and being worshipped because he is indeed the Lamb of
Amen.
The Most High God.
Yes.
In these things, as we look in this, we're going to flip back and we're going to go through some of these things that was pointed out. He tells us right in verse 5 of chapter 12, he says, take it, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. All right? When I read that sheep and goats, you know what I heard? I saw a chance for the Gentiles to come into the church. Amen? Amen? Because, hey, not only do I need the sheep, all right, the sheep, I also want some of the goats too. All right? All y'all are either a sheep or a goat. But the sacrifice is for you. That sacrifice is for you. What Jesus is about ready to do in history, in just a few more days from this day, he's going to become the sacrifice of the sin of the world, and it's for you. It's for you. You can be in Christ today, and you can be considered a sheep, but you can be outside of Christ today and be considered a goat. The sacrifice is for you if you will put the blood over your house. If you will accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, today you can be part of this Passover. The destroyer will pass over you and not touch your house.
Amen.
Amen. You can have protection from the worst thing that ever happened on the earth. From the destroyer coming and taking the firstborn out of every household, the firstborn of every animal that was in the field. The firstborns were about ready to be killed. They were about ready to be wiped out. But God made a way, made a Passover. Amen? You had to do some things, though. Jesus being that perfect Passover, first you've got to choose Him. He's already chosen you. He died for the sin of the world. He's chosen to cover all of the sin, to carry it all on Him to the cross of Calvary. He said, I can do this. I will do this because I am God and God is me. I'm able to take on this. I am sinless before the world. I've been tempted in every way and yet I have stood. Glory to God. God, Emmanuel, He became flesh that He could take on this burden of sin for you.
Amen.
Oh, how God so loved the world. Amen. He loved the world so much that He came Himself because no mortal man could ever fulfill the law of God.
Amen.
No mortal man. Amen. Jesus was made, He was made special. The angelic host Gabriel came and He touched Mary and she conceived the Spirit of the Most High God. Jesus born without sin.
Amen.
Amen.
The sin of Adam did not course through him. It was the glory of God that coursed through him. And that glory of God said, I will take the burden of the sin of the world because I love you rascals so much.
Amen.
I'm willing to do it. Not only was he willing, but he was able.
Yeah.
Amen? He just didn't say, I will lay my life down for my friend, but when I lay my life down, it is good enough. Do you know that Jesus is good enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no other thing that's good enough. Your work is not good enough before God. Your memorizing scripture isn't good enough before God. You trying to live inside of the law is not good enough before God. Even if you were able to fulfill the fullness of the law, salvation would still be rejected from you.
Amen.
Because you are born a sinner.
Amen.
You're born from the curse of Adam.
Yeah.
Jesus was not.
Amen.
He came a different way. He came the only way. That's why Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man goes to the Father but through me.
Amen.
Amen. He is that sacrifice. He is that shepherd. He is the way into everlasting life in him.
Amen.
All right? Now, Jesus loves you. He cares about you. And he set these pictures up. He said that you could choose these from the sheep or from the goats. This picture is the sacrifice would be able to cover all who would put their trust in the blood. Everyone who's able to put their trust in the blood. If you pick out the true Lamb of God, you put your trust in Him, the destroyer's going to pass over you. In that day of judgment, the destroyer's going to pass over you. Instead of you being cast out into hell, He's going to welcome you into the kingdom.
Amen.
Is eternity one way or the other, ladies and gentlemen? Right? You're either going to hell forever or you're going to heaven forever.
Right.
Whose blood are you trusting in? Your blood or His blood?
Right.
Now, I looked up this word hyssop from verse 7 till 10. And I'll read it real quick. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts in the upper door of the post of the house wherein you shall eat it. And they shall eat it by the flow, and talks about eating it raw. Well, actually, I guess I need to talk about that first. And they shall eat it that night, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs ye shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden, which means boiled with water, or roasted with fire, head with its legs, and with its, what's that word, pertinence, entrails, the whole thing. You know, so they took the whole lamb, bled its blood out, head, guts, legs, it all goes into the fire. Well, I mean, I've killed a lot of deer before, you know. I take the nasty parts and I leave them on the ground. You know, I'll take the liver, the heart, you know, kidney, stuff like that, because that's good eating. But the other stuff, I don't bother cooking that. In this picture, Jesus says, you've got to take me all.
Amen.
All of me. You can't take part of Jesus. And you can't water down the gospel. There's so many people watering down the gospel today. There's so people boiling it.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, listen, first I don't want you to eat it raw.
Right.
All right? You need to, when you hear the gospel, you need to let this thing bake in your mind. Let it think, meditate on these things. Don't just jump up all of a sudden and say, ooh, I want to be saved. I want to be saved, but I want to live like hell like everybody else. No, you want to be saved, then you got to wait till the Holy Spirit calls your name. And He's calling your name right now. He's calling your name today. If you don't know Him, He's got you on His mind.
Amen.
Amen. And He's calling your name right now. He's saying, if you want me, you accept my blood. You accept my sacrifice. But you don't eat me wrong. You need to think about this. You need to count the cost before you accept Jesus Christ. Because being a Christian is the hardest thing you'll ever do in this life. This ain't no easy road. Being a Christian is not for wimps and weenies. To be a real born-again follower of Jesus Christ, you're willing to die every day. And not to the world, but to your own selfishness. You're willing to go His way and not your way. You're willing to lay your life down for your brothers. Amen. There's no greater love than this, that a man lay his life down for his brothers. Amen. For his friends.
Yeah.
Are you willing to lay your life down for the brother in here? I mean, think about that. They may come a time that they're in need. There may come a time that they're hungry, that they're thirsty, that they're naked, that they're destitute of food. May come a time that they can't go to the grocery store because they don't have their stupid vaccine card.
Send them over.
Send them over. Amen. We got groceries. Mm-hmm. Amen. We got groceries. We'll grind some wheat with you. You know, we'll make some flour and make a biscuit. Mmm. Biscuit and possum gravy. Woo! Boy, we'll have it going. It'll cook it up good. Amen. What I'm saying is the body of Christ is to take care of the body of Christ. Amen. We're supposed to love each other. If we are the church, if we're the body of Christ, we're supposed to show love right here.
Amen.
Not separation, not division, not hatred, not backbiting, not just in the flesh love, but in the spirit love.
Amen.
Right? It's easy to say I love you, but not tend to none of your needs. But when I say I love you, and then I pour whatever I have into your life, that's real love. That's real love. When I take what God has given me and I give it away ridiculously, that's real love. Amen. And that's what he's talking about here, that we need to do that. Don't eat it raw. When you take this sacrifice and you say you want to sprinkle it, you want to put it on your doorpost, you want to fill your lintel with the blood of the Lamb, you need to take it seriously. You think about it. You bring it in on the 10th of Nisan, you bring it into your house and you let it live with you.
Amen.
For 4 days, till the 14th, you kids get to play with it. You look at it. You observe this Lamb. Look at Christ today. Look at Jesus today.
What?
Look at who He is. Look at what He did. Look at how much He loves you. Amen. Look at how He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Right.
Look at who Jesus is. Now, you meditate on that for 4 days before you say, ooh, I want it. You think about the cost. You think about the cross. You think about the things that Jesus is about ready to go to cover the sin of mankind. Have you meditated on that? See, there's so many folks who get an unctioning of the flesh.
Right.
Oh, that sounds so good. Ooh, I want me some of that. And they never count the cost. Jesus talked about parables about that, about the seed and the soil, right? He talked about it, about the talents. And you can get into that in Matthew 13 if you want to. I don't have time to cover that today. But he does say that you need to count the cost.
Yes.
It costs something to walk with Christ.
Bless.
You know what it costs? Everything.
Amen.
Doesn't cost some of it. Doesn't cost most of it. Doesn't cost what is convenient for you. It costs an obedience to the Most High God.
Amen.
God, and not a guy. I'm sorry, Lord. It's the Most High God. Right? It's not what you want to give Him. It's what He demands out of you.
Yes.
See, this comfortable Christianity where you just say a prayer and slide into home, that is a doctrine sent from hell.
Amen.
Amen. That is not God's Word. God says that you need to understand what it's going to cost you. You want to walk with me? Jesus told the rich young ruler, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but me, the Son of Man, has nowhere to lie his head.
Amen.
You want to follow me? Are you sure you want to follow me? He tells you, before you build a tower, you better count the cost. Before you jump into this thing, you better think about it, because when you jump in, He doesn't want you to walk away.
Right.
See, if you know what it's going to cost before you get in, you won't walk away. Jesus paid it all on the cross. He took care of the sin debt. Amen? But that doesn't mean that you can be willy-nilly about salvation. It doesn't mean that you can just be lukewarm. In fact, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you. I'm going to spit you out. You ain't worth nothing to me. You better count the cost.
Amen.
It's a hard road to be a Christian.
But He enables you.
He does. The Holy Spirit. If you really trust Him, He will guide you. It's called continuous sanctification. He moves you into holiness. You won't get it all in one day, but you will get it. But that means when you fall in, how many times are you going to fall? Folks, I sin every day. Every day. But I don't fall away from Christ. I fall into Christ. I confess my sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive me that sin. Amen. I don't hide my sin. I don't turn away from my sin. I say, yes, God, I am unable. I'm incapable to do what you want me to. Help me, Lord God, to kill myself.
Amen.
Help me to send my will, my love, my way.
Yes.
Jesus said, if you don't love me more than you love your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, and yes, even your own stinking life, if you don't love me more than that, you can't even be my student, my disciple. You can't even begin to learn about Jesus Christ until you're willing to die to your will. Now, the Holy Spirit will give you the power. Jesus Christ will give you the power through the Holy Spirit to do those things. But you've got to be obedient to do those things. Here at the first Passover, God gave them away. He gave them a chance, an offering, an avenue to have the destroyer pass over them. But if you didn't go out and pick your lamb, if you didn't slaughter your lamb on the night of the 14th, if you didn't do the things that God said to do, guess what? Your firstborn was going to die that night. It doesn't matter if you had the lamb in your house. If you didn't kill that lamb, if you didn't roast that lamb, if you didn't eat the bitter herbs, then your firstborn was going to die that night.
That's right.
The destroyer. Amen. It's all about obedience. And here, he says that you need to dip hyssop in the blood. I didn't know what hyssop. Who here knows what hyssop is? Amen. Me and you too, sister. I looked it up. Woohoo! Hyssop. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. Hyssop actually is a plant in Latin. It's called Perlilla virgulis.
That's what Latin is.
Anyhow, it we know it as self-heal. Do you know that? That hyssop is self-heal? Do you know what self-heal is? You herbalists, you ought to know what this stuff is. It's a wonderful family of mints. It's in the mint family. But it is an herb that you can make tea out of, that you can eat raw. And it just heals a multitude of sin. It heals a multitude of sicknesses inside of your body. Do you know that God has the fix for everything that's wrong with you?
Yes.
Amen? He does. And it's interesting that Jesus said, take this hyssop. Take this stuff, this self-heal plant. Use that plant. I found that very interesting because I'm getting to the herbalistic medicines and stuff like that because I believe real soon we're not going to be able to go to the pharmacy and get your daily poison that they try to give you every day, right? And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, we'll talk later. God said, I got a way to heal you, and it's through the blood.
Amen.
There's this plant called self-heal. It's also known as hyssop, all right? This plant in the Latin name is that whatever you call it. I can't speak Latin. I can barely talk American. Anyhow, right? This thing. And he says, what I want you to do with this plant that's able to heal your body, I want you to put it in the blood and I want to sprinkle it on you. I want the healing to be in you, to be on you, to be part of you. I want not only to me to pass over you that the destroyer won't come into your home and to kill your firstborn, but I want to heal you from the inside out or from the outside in. I want to take the goodness of the blood of Jesus Christ, and not only do I want to put little sprinkles on you, I want that inner healing to come.
Amen.
God has that for you. He has a healing in the Passover. And this hyssop, man, when I looked that up, it blew my mind, right? Because I've always looked at self-heal. In fact, some of y'all already know I give you some of that mullein plant, right? If you have a lung infection, you take mullein, you dry it, you burn it, you inhale the smoke, and it clears your lungs. It's a miraculous little plant. We called it rabbit tobacco when I was growing up. But anyhow, you just breathe that stuff, and I mean, you'll cough up this magnificent congestion, right? But you'll breathe easy from that point on. This self-heal plant, this hyssop plant, is perfect. A perfect picture of the healing of Jesus Christ. You know, he came not only to die for your sin, but he came to heal your right nows. Who here has some right nows that needs to be healed? Amen? I got some mental problems. Amen? I got some physical problems. I got some things that are just not right in my life. And I need the hyssop. I need the sprinkling. I need the blood of Jesus Christ. I need the anointing of the oil of God. I need that. And God said, use this particular plant. And I thought that it just blew my mind when I found out what it was.
Leviticus 14.
Yes.
Help to heal the lepers.
Yep.
And plagues.
Amen. Did you hear that? Leviticus 14 says that hyssop, this self-heal, heals leprosy, helps to heal leprosy and plagues. Hey, how about code 19, 15, 12, 38, whatever it is. How about the flu today? You know, God has a heal for that. He really, God has a heal for that. And let me tell you, it ain't Fauci. Right? Fauci's not the fix for this thing. I'll tell you what will heal the whole thing. You want it all to get over? You want this thing to get over right now? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. If the church would get right. If the church would take this Passover. Take this seriously about the blood of Jesus Christ. Take this seriously about the healing of the love of God in our hearts. Take this seriously that He is God and you ain't. If we would put our faith in Him, if we would turn our hearts to Him, if we would turn our lips to Him, if we would turn our focus to Jesus Christ, He says, I will hear your prayer and I will heal your land. Amen? Y'all want a revival? Get out of your deadness.
Amen.
Amen? You want a revival? Don't think about a revival out there. You need to look in yourself. The revival starts here.
Right.
Judgment starts in the house of God. Where's that house at? Right here. Now, in the picture right here, he said, take the blood and you put it over your doorpost, right? Where's the doorpost of the heart? Where's the door? Well, I just gave it away. Where's the doorpost in your house? This is the temple of God. This is a building. I don't care if a tornado comes and wipes this building out. You know what I want? I want this temple to have the coating of the blood of Jesus Christ in it. All right, I want my heart, my life, to have the hyssop and the oil and the blood sprinkled on me in my life in a real personal way. I want to be holy. I don't want to be counted as a sinner. I don't want to be counted as the unrighteous. I want to be counted as a holy, righteous child of the Most High God. You know what I got to do? I got to follow this. I got to take the blood. I got to take this picture that's going to be made real because Jesus said, I have desired to do this Passover with you.
Amen.
More than all the goats, more than all the sheep, more than all the calves, more than all the blood that has been spilled from the very first sacrifice to the very last, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have preferred this Passover to spend with you.
Amen.
Oh, this day, Jesus riding into Jerusalem this day. Is He riding into your Jerusalem right now? Is the Lord speaking to your heart right at this moment? Says, I need that blood. I need that sacrifice. I need that love. I need to repent. I need to get right. Oh, if He doesn't do it. The only thing between you and salvation is air and opportunity.
Amen.
And Jesus made the opportunity. Don't let the air stop you. You need to come to God with a holiness, with a real desire. Bring the Lamb of God into your house. If you need a Bible, I'll get you a Bible. Bring the Word of God into your house. Study it. Study the book of John for 4 days.
Amen.
Amen. You open up, you pull open the book of John. You read about the love of Jesus Christ. You do it for 4 days, you'll get saved.
Amen.
It'll do one of two things. It'll draw you in and lock you in, or it'll push you away. Because God's Word never returns void. It's going to do what it accomplishes. And Jesus said, I died. I gave my blood to seek and save the lost. I gave my blood on the day of Passover. I poured it out. No man took my life from me, but I freely gave it. I laid it down.
Amen.
That you could lay your life down.
Right, right.
Oh, people. We got it all messed up in the modern church today. We got it all backwards in our head. That hyssop, that self-heal. How do I get healed through Jesus Christ? I get healed through Jesus Christ by walking with Him.
Amen.
Amen. By walking with Him. Amen. Every day. When I stub my toe, I don't cuss God, I praise Him. Amen. Right?
Yep.
But when something bad happens in my life, I don't curse God for it. Wow, Lord, thank you for this. I do. Why is it that we always cuss God? The people, the world. You don't cuss Buddha. You don't cuss Hare Krishna. You don't cuss the Islamic guy. You don't use their name.
But you'll take the world will take the name of Jesus, the name which every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. They'll take that name and tie it with a swear word.
Right. Satan knows who they are if they don't fear him.
Amen.
Absolutely.
That's why. The question is, do you fear him?
Right.
Do you are you willing to take your life? Are you willing to die to your tongue?
Right.
Amen. Your mindset. Mm-hmm. See, I can't make you do this stuff. But I guarantee you, you do it, you will find new life.
Amen.
And you will find it more abundantly.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. You'll find the goodness and the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, not just a little bit, I mean dumped out ridiculously on
Amen.
You. I need some of that ridiculous love of God.
Yeah.
I really do. Now you look at what Moses is telling the people to do here, and that's kind of a ridiculous thing. Right? Think about this. First time you ever heard it. Right? And Moses standing up, he says, the Lord told Moses, said, hey, Moses, on this day, which is going to be the new year for you, Nisan, for the Hebrew people, and on the 10th of Nisan, I want you to go do this. You find yourself the very best that you can. You bring it into your house. On the 14th, 4 days later, I want you to kill it. Then I want you to eat it all. All. Anything that you don't eat, I want you to burn it with fire. Mm-hmm. Now, with the blood of that, what I want you to do is I want you to put it on the lintels and on the door and let the blood fill the threshold right there. Let all, don't waste none of the blood. Oh, people, church, don't waste the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Don't waste the blood of the Most High God. Don't waste the perfect sacrifice. Don't waste it. You take it and you put it on.
Amen.
You sprinkle it with that healing. But Jesus Christ, the great physician, you put it in you, you put it on you, you meditate on this thing for days.
Amen. Right.
You say, oh, I want it. I want it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now open your Bibles, understand how much He loves you, understand how much He wants you to partake in this Passover. Jesus said this in Luke 14:28. You ain't got to turn there, you can if you want to. Just one quick verse. Which of ye, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and count the cost? All right. Have you ever just started a project and never went and figured out how much it's going to run? Don't you feel stupid when you get the bill? Considering you could have known. You could have known. Right? You could have known. You could have sat down and said, 2x4 cost this. Shingles cost that. Plumbing costs this. A toilet costs that. All these things. It's plain and simple. It's out there. You know what? Salvation is plain and simple. It's in here. You got to read it.
Amen.
Amen. You got to apply it. You got to understand it. You got to count the cost.
Amen.
You count the cost and then you start building the tower. You'll start building the tower and then count the cost. See, when you do it that way, you end up with a building half done. Because you run out of money, you run out of energy, you run out of drive.
Yeah.
You confess Jesus Christ with your life, but you never thought that you would have to even try to live holy. You never knew that God said, this is righteousness, this is unrighteousness. If you live in unrighteousness, you will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I don't care what you say with your mouth, if your heart's not drawn close to Him.
That's right.
See, we've gotten into this idea, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Right? And it's not that way. That's not what the Bible teaches.
No.
He says, count the cost. Understand it. Salvation, understand it. The Passover, understand it. Understand the Old Testament pictures of the real Testament thing. The new, I hate to call it New and Old Testament, but that's the only way we can divide it. I've said it 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 times more. This is a testament.
Yeah.
There's not a new and an old. It's the same story. Okay.
Right.
It's
Amen.
The same account from Genesis through the Revelation.
Yes.
You say, well, the Old Testament is hard to read.
No.
The King James Bible was made for ignorant people like me to understand.
Amen.
Uneducated men. It is made for any sixth grader with any kind of, if you know how to read, you can read the King James, all right? Amen? Young man back there is shaking his head. I understand the King James Bible. You know why? He reads it. The The ones who don't understand the King James Bible, guess what? They don't read it. If you read it, it's not hard to figure out. And if I can figure it out, Tom can figure it out. Lawrence can figure it out. Josh, well, he figured it out. Mike, he's working on it. No. Mike figured it out. Right?
Some of the women are. Amen.
Praise God! And it is. It's God's Word, right? It's not hard to figure out. This understanding about leaving nothing until morning. Listen, when you take on Jesus, take Him all on.
That's it. Amen.
Take Him all on. Don't take part of Him. Don't just take... The scriptures that make me feel good, I'll accept those. But those that tell me that I've got to die to myself, I'm going to forget those.
Right.
The ones that say to walk in the Spirit, oh, I'll walk in the Spirit. But that mean I got to die to the flesh? Well, I can't die to my flesh. The ones that tell you to be holy because He is holy, well, you hold on to those.
Hey.
Stop it. Don't hold on to them. Do them. Don't hold on to the rope. Climb the rope. And guess what? The Holy Spirit will enable you to do those things.
That's right. He's faithful.
He is faithful. And He will see it through to the end.
Yes.
Because I cannot live holy without without walking with God. I can't do it.
No.
Without applying His Word, without eating the fullness of God's Word, without consuming Him completely.
Right.
I can't do it. Oh, man, I wish we had
Amen.
Anyhow, in the Passover, there's protection. Do you know that? In the Passover, there's protection. God says He's going to judge the gods of the Egyptians. But He says, anyone under the blood. Anyone under the blood, the destroyer will not harm. Have you ever thought about that? Being under the blood of Jesus. The big churchy word is called propitiation. The covering. I want to be covered with Jesus.
Amen.
I want to walk so close with Jesus. I want to be so close to the Word of God that
Amen.
They never really see me.
Yeah.
Praise Amen. God. Because if you ever really saw me for who I am, you would walk around it and be afraid to touch it.
Yeah.
I pray that we would walk so close
Amen.
And lockstep, stay close to the Shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
Stay close to the Shepherd. Stay close to the Christ who died and saved you. Stay close to His Word. Live by His principles, not your principles.
Amen.
Oh, and there's a glory for that. There's a reward for that. The destroyer will pass over you. That doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. Amen. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you do go to glory, guess who's not going to be convicting you? The destroyer. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him. That angel of death that's coming to wipe out all that's good in your life, your first son, your first child, the firstborn, will pass over you if you're under Jesus. Amen. We've got to get right with God.
Yeah.
We've got to get right with Him. It's more than just living next door to somebody who put the blood on. Right?
Amen.
So, oh, I lived right next door to this fellow. He killed the lamb. He put the blood over his. Well, he was safe and I wasn't. God doesn't, he's not so concerned about you and your feelings as He is His
That's
Word
right.
and righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, do it or die.
Right.
Do it or die. Those are, I know not many folks preach that stuff anymore nowadays. I feel sorry for those churches.
Amen.
I feel sorry for anybody here who's already hardened their heart to that and says, well, Jesus paid it all. I ain't got to do nothing. You're going to find yourself in the position that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7:22. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. What's that word starts with do or D? Do it. You've got to do it.
Amen.
It's not merely having the lamb in your house or having a picture of Jesus on your wall or having a Bible on your dresser. You move the Bible off your dresser and you find there's 6 months of dust there. Well, first you ought to dust more often. No, first you ought to be picking up that Bible every day and applying it. And if you, what's that, a rolling stone gathers no moss? A used Bible will gather no sin. Amen. You got to take that Word of God and roll it over on you every day. Continually reading it, studying it, applying it, using it, following the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, accepting the Passover.
Amen.
The real Passover, the one that Jesus said, I have desired to take this with you. Mm-hmm. That's found in Luke 22, 14 and 15 and 16. I'm going to read that. Now, remember, Sir Robert Anderson said that this was around 1,625 years, give or take. And I don't know, like I said, I don't study that stuff nearly enough to say that that's fact. All right? He did the math. I didn't. Anyhow, Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Verse 15. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Verse 16. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom. All of those sacrifices, all of those Passovers that had passed over from the very first Passover to the one that Jesus is talking about. Remember, Jesus is God manifested in flesh. And he said, from the time I told Moses to start this as a continual thing until the earth passes away, this is the Passover I wanted to partake in.
Amen.
More than any of the other Passovers that have ever taken place. The Word of God said, this is the one, because I'm going to the cross. This is the one, because they're going to kill me. This is the one, because at this, in just a couple hours from now, the Father's going to put the weight of sin on my shoulders, and he's going to turn away from me. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because he became the sin bearer until he said, it is finished. Amen. And when he said, it is finished, bam! It was done. It was done. Sin was conquered. And if sin is conquered, why does it still have its grip on you? It's dead. If you're in Christ, if you've taken the blood, if you've taken Jesus Christ, if you've understood the mercy and the call and the righteousness of God, if you've done that in your heart, in your mind, sin is done with you. You have the power to conquer the flesh.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
He died to give you a way where there was no way. Not only did he die, but 3 days later, praise God, never forget 3 days later. Because sin and death had no hold on Christ Jesus. See, he was without sin. The payment of sin is death. So Jesus had to give his life up. Because death could not take him. Sin could not take him because he had no sin in him. He couldn't take the payment because he didn't do the work. He wasn't a sinner.
Amen.
He was God. He was the holiness of God manifested in flesh to take your sin on. The spotless Lamb of God, chosen before the foundations
Amen.
Of the earth. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
The more I study this and I read, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God, why did he give it? He gave it for you. You are the glory. You are the kingdom of God.
Bless.
You are the bride coming down, the kingdom coming down, adorned as a bride. All right, we got to get the verbiage right there. You are adorned, the kingdom. You are the kingdom of God. And you are coming down. There's coming a day that the body of Christ, the ecclesia, will come down as adorned as a bride for her husband.
Amen.
You're going to be in Shekinah glory land.
Amen.
Amen. You're gonna glow. Radiance is gonna come out of you if you are in Christ Jesus. If you ain't, to hell with you. And I hate to put it that way, but that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's where Jesus is going to, he's going to call it. Either you are in or you're out.
Amen.
We're about ready to take communion here in just a moment. In this communion is the new covenant.
Amen.
Right? It's the new covenant. It's the blood of the covenant. See, the blood of the goats and of the sheep. It was never enough to cover your sin. It was never enough to pay the price. Tells us that in Hebrews. I'm just going to run through some verses real quick. Christ being come a high priest of good things. This is Hebrews 9, 11 through 14, 15. I think I got it written down here. Christ, Jesus, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the most holy place. It says the holy place. I put most in there. Into the most holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You ought to scream amen right there. I mean, that's a hallelujah spot right there. Right there is the place. We'll get to the song in a minute. I ain't finished preaching yet. Eternal relationship of redemption for us. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling upon sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience, my conscience, from the dead works to serve the living God. Verse 15, for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Jesus is the mediator. He's the one who tells you how it is. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one who set the parameters. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who rose from the grave for you, for your sin, for your unrighteousness. Amen. It is not of works that you have done, but Jesus' works. That's what the Passover represents. It's the covenant of the New Testament. It's the New Testament that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, the first testament, they are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. There's a promise of eternal inheritance if you take the blood of Christ. Now there's the other side of that. If you take the blood of Christ, what's that word?
Unworthily.
Thank you. That's the word. If you take the blood of Christ unworthily, many of you are going to be sick. Many of you are going to die. When we take the Passover of God and we treat it flippantly, we eat it raw, or we boil it down, we water down the gospel. We water down the blood of Jesus Christ. We water down the sacrifice that was made. We turn it into something less. Or we don't think about it for what it really is.
Amen.
When we don't take it all, we only take part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That lamb that was put into the oven, head, legs, entrails. The whole thing. You got to take all of him. And see, you can't get away with just part of Jesus. I want part of the gospel. I want part of the good news. No, take it all, or don't take any.
Right.
This covenant of the New Testament, we're about ready to take the elements, the bread and the juice. We're about ready to take that. I want you to think before you do it. What are you doing with this Lamb of God? See, it's more than just a verbal thing. Is God alive? Have you taken the hyssop and the blood and sprinkled it? Understood what Passover means? Have you understood what the blood means? Have you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's the word. Remission of sin.
Amen.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no way to get out of a sin problem.
No.
Sin nature. And the blood of goats and sheep and calves, they only did it for a short while.
Mm-hmm.
Until Jesus.
Amen.
That's why he said, I have desired. I'm tired of the calf blood and the goat blood and the sheep blood. I mean, it was good for a while. But now you can have the real thing, baby.
Amen.
You can have a V8. Amen. You can have it all. You can have the fullness of God. But meditate on this thing. Think of your own life.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to talk about that just a little bit. Now, I need a couple men to grab these trays and start passing out. And get my wife, if you don't mind. So, she's in the kids' room. And we'll make sure that she partakes in our communion also.
1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me grab one up here real quick. Two, in fact, one for me and one for the piano player. And if you've not noticed, there's a little thin cellophane thing, and then there's a wafer underneath it, and then the juice is underneath that. We do this to keep your cooties off of everybody else's grip. That's why we do it this way. It's sanitary. And so, talking about the sacrifice here, he says in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, catch that word, unworthily, all right? You drink it unworthily, you do it unworthily, without manner of judgment, without thinking about it. Unworthily, eateth damnation, eateth and drinketh damnation. You do this without getting your life right before God, you can go to hell.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right? That's a hard way to put it, but that's exactly what he says. She had one. Yeah, God took care of. Thank you. Drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We're about ready to take this right here, but before we do, I want to take a few minutes. Cleanse your heart before Jesus now. You know your sin. Deal with it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have cleansed us through the power of the Most High God. Paul wrote to the church, for I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that Jesus, that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's grab the wafer. Dear Father, I thank you so much for the sacrifice, for the stripes that you took for my sin.
Amen.
For the body that was broken for my sin. For the thorns on your brow for my sin. For the nails in your hands and your feet for my sin. For the sword in your side for my sin. Father, heal me that I might be healed. Cleanse me, Father, that I might be whole before you. And I remember what you did on Calvary. I remember what you did. And I praise you. And we will do this until you return. We take the bread together. In Jesus' name. And in the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, this is the New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus, we thank you for the blood that was shed.
Yes.
I thank you for being that perfect Lamb of God and making a way where there was no way. I thank you for the sprinkling and the hyssop. And I thank you, Father, for the picture of the Passover. I thank you, Lord God, that you have come and you've spoken to us today. I thank you, Lord God, that you've touched us and you've cleansed us and you've made us whole. Father, as we take this juice, we remember what you said, that you would drink it in the kingdom anew someday. So, Father, until you come, we remember you through this sacrament. In Jesus' name. He did these things that we might know the truth. Jesus said, or John, Jesus said in 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another.
Amen.
As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all shall know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Jesus also told us that he went to prepare us a place.
Amen.
In John chapter 14. Before we can get to that place, we got to love one another.
Amen.
Before we get there, we got to get right here.
Amen.
There's a sacrifice made. And it wasn't made by regular sheep or regular goats or calves. It was made by God coming to pay for the sin.
Yes, yes.
For my sin. For your sin. What will you do with this Jesus? This is the Passion Week. Right? This is the week that we think of what Jesus did today, Palm Sunday. Today is the day that he rode in, prepared. Mount Transfiguration has already happened. The teachings, please, this week, read your Bibles. Look at what Jesus taught the last 4 days of his life. Examine those scriptures.
Amen.
Roll them over in your heart. See, if I was about ready to die, I was on my deathbed, I was just 4 days before I knew I was going to go away, I would tell you the most deep, secret, and precious things I could teach. I think Jesus did the same thing. You're going to find the vine and the branches there. You're going to find I made your place. You're going to find I'm going to leave you a comforter. Right? You're, all those teachings you're going to find in these last 4 days.
Amen.
Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, you're going to find that there in those 4 days. You're going to find Jesus praying in the garden alone, sweating great drops, as it were, great drops of blood. You're going to find him healing a man's ear that came to turn
Amen.
Him in.
Amen.
You're going to find him washing the feet of his disciples, even the one that turned him in. Loving the brethren, even though one of you is a devil.
Yes.
Amen. Not talking about y'all, you Jews. Even though you're not worthy.
Right.
Now that's all of us. You ain't worthy. You ain't worthy. I ain't worthy. But God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you can live. Romans 8:28.
And
with
along
perfect
with that,
faith.
Along with that, we may say we're not worthy because we can't put a price on it. God put a price on it.
Amen.
It was the blood of his only begotten Son. Again, the question lays out thick in the air. What are you going to do with this Jesus? What are you going to do? with his teaching. Is it real to you yet? Is the Passover real to you yet? Let's go to the Lord, Father. What's that song you have picked up, brother?
23 is Power in the Blood.
Yes, there is. Dear Father, I love you. I praise you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We're about ready to break. Father, I pray that we might go our separate ways, but you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, indeed, there is power in the blood. There is a righteousness, a holiness, Father. There is the love of God for a lost people. Father, help us to be holy. Help us to be right with you. Help us to hold on to the truth of God and his love and his grace. We thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing that song you said on page what?
23.
How are you? Did you have something?
No.
Did
we
need
that?
Okay. Oh, wait for you. Get your book right now. Stand to your feet. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Good power in the love, good power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the love. Well, there's power in the wonder working power. In the blood of the Lamb. There's power, it's wonder working power. In that precious blood of the Lamb. Imagine in pride, there's power in the blood, oh, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side, there's wonderful power in the blood. Well, there's power, in power, there's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Well, there's power, in power, there's wonder working power in that precious. Much wider than some. There's power in the blood, oh, power in the blood.